The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, well, even though I'm no longer an employee of the Spinoff, I still seem to have opening rights for the Offspin, the Spinoff's cricket podcast. I'm Alex Bray. Simon Day is over there. Hello.
Kia ora, Alex. It's really nice to see you.
Well, thank you. It's really nice to be back, actually. It's the first time I've been inside the studio in about 4 or 5 months, and I see you've won some awards. Congratulations.
Not personally, but business is boring, and the Real Pod both won an award at the end. Inaugural Spinoff, New Zealand Podcast Awards.
Yeah, if you're winning awards at the Spinoff Podcast Awards, that would be incestuous.
Even we would win an award then.
Yeah. Well, there was controversy over the Podcast Awards, wasn't there? Because it was all just like the Kate Hawksby Show and like Fletch, Vaughan and Megan or whatever, and just no actual podcast seemed to win.
What is a podcast and what is an old radio show?
Well, exactly. So for the Spinoff to come through there, shows the quality. Shows the quality.
And speaking of quality, it's exciting to be performing with you again.
Yeah. I was thinking at the very least that, you know, TV shows in the UK of the stature of The Office or Doctor Who or I think Sherlock, you know, they all do Christmas specials. And I feel like The Offspin as a cultural phenomenon is sort of up there with those. So yes, we are doing a Christmas special episode as well.
I think after what has to be considered the greatest year in the history of New Zealand cricket as well, we had no choice. We were going to do a World T20 World Cup episode.
Yeah, actually, do you want me to read out the texts that we exchanged on the morning of the World Test?
I think
the
idea.
World T20 final. You want it or nah?
So we weren't really that interested in the T20 World Cup,
no.
And then suddenly we jumped on the bandwagon because it was a very exciting semi-final. Shout out Daryl Mitchell, son of John Mitchell. I didn't realise that until just the other day.
The greater Mitchell by far.
And
I would
we'd
say.
Planned to do a post-final analysis,
and then at just before 6:04 a.m., text from Simon Day. I'm keen to flag. Fuck, I hate Australia. This was too easy for them.
There's nothing worse than watching David Warner and then Mitchell Marsh guide Australia to a ICC championship.
I think the exact wording that you used was, no one wants to listen to relive how hard it was watching David Warner bat with no helmet on like he was 25 again. Mm. I fully agree.
So I think we will probably talk about it later, but it's the final. There are a few final bridges to cross, the ODI World Cup. But for me, the big burden still hanging over the New Zealand cricket team is Australia.
Yeah. Sort of every time when it really matters. And that final did feel eerily similar to 2015, I think.
Just cruising.
Yeah. And I suppose a decent but not great score was put up in the first innings. You know, some bowlers who are normally pretty reliable had real off days. I mean, Ish Sodhi is a phenomenally good T20 bowler, and he maybe had the worst game of his life on the biggest possible stage, which was really unfortunate, I think. And it was bleak and grim. And maybe we should have done a podcast after that just to really capture that vibe of New Zealand cricket fandom. You know, relive the glory days of the 90s and early 2000s where bleak and grim was the best we could hope for.
But I feel like we got that in a much more perfect form about a month later when Ajaz Patel proceeds to take 10 wickets. You know, an absolutely historic moment. And then the team proceeds to crumble.
Appalling team performance.
It was actually, because I hated watching the T20 World Cup final.
Yeah.
And I just found it absolutely a pleasure watching us crumble with the bat after. Because the Ajaz thing, it was just incredible. You know, I'm on the phone to my grandma immediately after he takes the 10th wicket.
What did she say?
She was only at 8. She was a little bit behind.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You spoiled it for your grandma.
No, but she was actually pleased to know that he got there. So I took away some tension.
Oh, that's good.
She's turning 88, maybe today.
Yeah, that age, that sort of tension is not great. Happy birthday to your gran.
Shot Billy, the source of my cricket fandom, actually. She used to roll me down in the pram to the Eden Park Outer Oval to catch some domestic games.
Amazing.
She's a lot to answer for. I was at the World Cup, the 1992 World Cup, opening game and then semi-final with her. I made her escort me out of the ground when Inzamam started going crazy because I was crying. I just couldn't handle watching it.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, that was a pure cricket experience. But no one else, no other fan of, you know, if you're an Indian fan or a South African fan, understands how familiar it was for us to go and do something incredible. And then to just blow it.
Just wilt it completely.
It was good to know that we've still got that in us.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it in terms of collapses. It was really...
funny.
It was funny, yeah. Yeah, some of the wickets had that slight edge of like, oh, come on, you're not going to get out like that. Surely not. And yet they did. I think the sort of... the injury depletion problems that we had made it even more darkly comic. You know, it just felt like getting back to basics of an understrength, underprepared team, way out of their depth, wrong conditions, playing against far better players. And for once, because I think we've got really used to that sort of grim, nuggety, backs to the wall, like fighting at all costs and maybe pulling out a result at the end. I mean, the first test was a classic example of it.
I think it's the first time I ever watched New Zealand save a test. I can't remember personally experiencing a live backs-to-the-wall draw like that.
Yeah. It has been a while, actually, because more often than not now, it's that sort of performance resulting in a win.
One previously would just get out.
Yeah, or that. But, I mean, at the same time, the sort of the second game against India was just one of those ones where it was like, oh, that's right. Yeah, they're an amazing cricket team. Playing in India is impossible if you're from a Western country. And, of course, this was going to happen. This was always going to happen.
But beyond the fact that, you know, people will return to this podcast for decades to come, other than when they listen to it, no one's going to remember that we got a hiding. Everyone's going to remember that Ajaz Patel took 10 wickets in an innings, and he did it in front of his parents, watching him play top-level cricket for the very first time in the city that he was born in.
Yeah.
And that's kind of more important.
That in and of itself is an incredible fairy tale story. Like that's going to be up there with... you know, moments in sport like that NBA buzzer beater where it bounced around the rim or something like that.
Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
That's why I like sport, is the stories in it.
Yeah. It makes so much more sense once you start to get a bit of a sense of the backstory of all of the players, how they came to be in that particular moment or that particular time.
Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. hitting back-to-back home runs in Major League Baseball.
Did not know about that one.
I highly recommend watching Ken Burns' 9-hour History of Baseball documentary.
Mm.
It's an hour. It's cut into nine different segments for the nine innings. Each is an hour long, and it's a really, really good. Do you know the Mafia fixed the 19-something World Series?
Wow.
Yeah, very cool. Wow.
And the 1960 election.
I didn't know that one.
Wow, there you go. There you go. So, like, there's a lot of positivity to be had out of what we saw over this year with the Black Caps. And I want to introduce some negativity into the discussion because I think that we're at real risk of all of this good feeling. And I realize I'm doing it right now, but I think we're at real risk of all of this good feeling and interest and anticipation to see New Zealand play cricket is just going to dissipate. And it's for a couple of reasons, one of which, all of the amazing cricket moments that have taken place for New Zealand this year have taken place at horrible time zones. The World Test Championship final, whatever, it's a one-off game, it's overnight, you just do it.
Yeah, but it was 6 days. World Cup. Yeah, I nearly died because of that.
You nearly
game.
Died, and that was impressive. But you know, it's doable in that sense. The World T20. I mean, the Middle East is the worst possible time zone for New Zealand, and increasingly cricket's going to get played there at this sort of top international level, especially ICC tournaments. And you'd have games starting at like 11 o'clock at night, and you just think, No.
I do love a test match starting in Mumbai at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, though.
That was great. That was really good. But even then, you know, you're finishing a bit after midnight when they brought the draw home or thereabouts.
Even later, I think.
Yeah. Sort of. And, you know, that's all well and good for us. What else are we going to do? You've got a very intensive job and a young family, but I mean, when it comes down to it, what else are you going to be doing, really? But for the more casual fan, I really worry that, plus you've got some games on Sky and some games on Spark. Which package do you get? It's nigh on impossible to watch live cricket in Auckland at the moment, and I don't think we're really getting all that much over summer.
We're not. And the summer home schedule is
bad. Well, yeah. It's okay, but it's pretty bad. When you've got a three-match ODI series against the Netherlands or something, and it's just like, come on, man.
And I understand its importance, but I feel like we have more mana than that at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's just reflected itself this year anyway. And I do appreciate that it's a difficult year for touring teams.
Absolutely. And if all of the energy in terms of home cricket at the moment is being put into the Women's World Cup that's coming up, fine. You know, that's totally all good. But at the same time, I mean, there's some really dire fixtures coming up. This, I mean, Bangladesh are coming, and they're never competitive in New Zealand at all. And Shakib Al Hassan is staying home.
Has he been bad boy again?
No. I just think I think he can't be fucked doing MIQ and stuff. I think he just doesn't want to, and because he is one of the greatest all rounders to have ever played cricket, he can get away with that, and it's fine. So they're going to be, touch wood and all of that, but I think that series is going to be a bit of a write-off. I think South Africa's coming as well. Could be good. Could be. Maybe.
But no tests in Auckland.
No.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been for a long time.
Yeah. And it just sort of feels like a lot of that structural stuff. I mean, yes, I completely agree that right now we're living through the greatest era by far of New Zealand cricket, by far. But all of that structural stuff which held the game back in the past, I just really worry that we're going to see that happening all over again. And all of the good progress that gets made starts to fade away, and then people go back to the sort of, oh, we're shit, you know, why would you bother watching? We're always going to lose. And, you know, that culture of low expectations will start to reassert itself again. And maybe, you know, maybe in 30 years' time, your twin boys will be hosting a podcast where they talk about how, oh, you know, it's been 30 years of pain, but now we've finally won the T10 Dubai Masters tournament or something like that. But
well, if they were talking about Test cricket, I'd be comfortable with them being made to wait 30 years for their moment as well, because that's what that World Test Championship victory was. There was 30 years of hardcore fanaticism, the investment paying off. And I've asked myself a few times, would I have preferred to win an ODI World Cup, you know, 2015, beating Australia at the MCG.
That would have been cool.
Or having won, you know, been on the other side of the coin for that incredible 2019 final. But I think winning the first ever World Test Championship is more special. And I love Test cricket the most of all the formats. Yeah. And it was an incredible game.
Yeah.
It was such a good game of cricket.
I do worry, though, that it's going to become, one of those statistical quirks of sport in which a team, like, I don't know, I forget exactly who it was, but I'm pretty sure, like, Paraguay or Chile or someone won the first Football World Cup, and you look at them now and you're like, well, that's never going to happen again. That's, you know, that's ridiculous. But I do wonder if it's going to become one of those sort of footnotes of history. If they manage to get through, say, 10 editions of the World Test Championship, you know, India's probably going to win 5 of them.
Yeah, but I was still there for the first one.
That's very true. That's very true.
Spin-off office, 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
It
was about 4 by the time Ross Taylor whipped the winning runs off his pads to square leg. I'm going to refuse to let you steal how iconic that moment was.
Oh, no.
Based on how important it was to me personally.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of the personal importance to you, how is the tattoo settling in?
So, as regular listeners would know, I pledged to get a tattoo of the Clear Communications logo, the naming sponsor of the Clear Black Caps. They were in a competition in 1998, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where the name the Black Caps came from. I followed through on that. I shaved my right breast.
I was there. He actually did this.
Right where the logo would sit on the team shirt.
Yeah.
And I branded myself with a defunct telecommunications company logo.
I mean, dare I say it, it was almost like a tasteful, stylized version of the Clear logo. Like, almost like if Clear, the company, still existed in 2021 and also had, like, one of those modern designers who you know, does all the cafe menus and stuff like that. It's the kind of thing they would have pivoted the Clear logo to or something like that.
So I was talking to an incredible illustrator, Joseph Carrington, recently. Mm-hmm, he's doing some work for the spin-off. And he also loves cricket, and I talked to him about the Clear logo, and he really rates it as an iconic piece of graphic design.
Really?
Because it's simple, it does what it says it does. It's, you know, bringing people together, creating a link.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll play a clip at the end of this from the day I was tattooed. But you know, really love the way that, to me, it's a metaphor for my connection to the Black Caps and the way that they actually try to kind of keep me at a distance as well. you know, like a younger, modern Sonny Shaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they do try and keep you at a bit of a distance. But, you know, they're nicer to you than they perhaps should be. So we've got to thank New Zealand Cricket for that.
They're very accommodating. Shout out to Willie Nichols, the Black Caps comms boss. He's very, very helpful. And to the camera operators who, you know, unlike how they actively try to keep Sonny Shaw off television, have been known to occasionally put me on to TV, which I really appreciate.
Wow. Mistake. Huge mistake.
Sometimes with my shirt off, sometimes reporting from the press box.
Well, you'll have to have what, both at the same time?
Or? I have always kept my shirt on in the press box, but I do find it very funny how these seasoned veteran sports reporters just sort of watch and digest and take notes and type away.
It's like being in the press gallery or something.
I guess not in the not often with a press gallery when someone takes a wicket, you're like, come on, and you're like, oh shit, sorry, yeah. I wasn't meant to do that.
Yeah. with the tattoo, what would make you get a new tattoo? Like, what would the Black Caps have to do to get you inked again? And if so, what would it be?
So I'd get tattooed to celebrate an ODI World Cup victory.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the fulfillment of a promise almost, wouldn't it?
What would it be? Maybe the Benson and Hedges logo?
Yeah,
as
that's
tribute
quite good.
To 1992?
Or VB. You could go VB if you don't want to advertise with tobacco, you know, that's fine.
VB had no relationship to 1992, though, which was my real breakthrough moment.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the first time I ever bought a packet of cigarettes, I was 11. And I was on the Cook Strait ferry, and there was a vending machine, and I just chucked a bunch of coins. It was probably only like $7 or something.
Yeah. Pre-tax.
Looking over my shoulder, make sure no one's watching. And I was like, "What do I choose?" I was like, "Oh, Marlboro Red. That's like Tom Cruise and Top Gun." I was like, "Oh, Benson and Hedges, Martin Crowe."
Did you know what Benson and Hedges was before that?
Before I bought cigarettes at that moment.
Yeah. Or was it just like a word?
No. Cigarettes are pretty omnipresent.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Marlboro's, Ferrari and Formula One. So sports advertising definitely works, you know.
And cricketers actually smoke as well. That's one of those things that I feel makes them most, like the most relatable athletes, in that they're not really athletes at all.
There are some who are. But I don't know if Ajaz Patel smokes or not, but he doesn't. He certainly doesn't have the same physique as an NBA basketball player.
He does not have the same physique as an NBA basketball player. That is very, very true.
I guess I think his run-up is probably one of, like, the most gentle strolls into the pop increase I've ever seen.
And then when it comes out, it's lethal because it's all craft. You know, you don't need raw athleticism or brute physicality when you've got craft like he does, you know?
It's almost more similar to like a carpenter than an NBA player.
Yeah, a master builder or something.
Absolute pure skill.
Yeah. What do you think about the chance of him playing home tests?
I did enjoy that being, you know, quite a funny sort of follow-up tweet that got shared around quite a lot, that he may take 10 wickets and then be excluded from the next test match.
Mm.
But, you know, like, it's Neil Wagner wasn't invited to play in either of those.
Yeah, that was weird.
I would have preferred that he
really
did.
That was really weird.
Like, perhaps our most important bowler being left out of a team, you know, based on the conditions isn't unheard of.
True.
Do you think, this is one thing I worry about with cricket, is that the home side advantage is too strong?
Yeah, I'm really sick of the toss. And there's been a lot of talk about whether or not maybe the toss should be replaced with some sort of like Byzantine auction system in which you like, both captains bid against each other the number of runs that they would be willing to give up in order to bat first or bowl first. I don't really like that idea, but then again, cricket is the sport of the Duckworth-Lewis method, so it kind of makes sense to have some ridiculous mathematical formula to decide what could be done in a very simple way.
What about just offering the visiting team
first? Because test match cricket is so heavily weighted in favour of the home team. I mean, it's much less of an issue in T20 and ODI cricket because it's just one day. But over a long period of time in Test cricket, upsets are actually really quite unusual, which, you know, it also makes the achievements of the New Zealand team over the last 2 years even more remarkable, I think. And put into that context, to bat second and get a draw against India in India, I mean, that's astonishingly, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, facing Ravi Ashwin as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
like, I probably, with the game on the line, like, prefer, in my current skill set, to face Jasprit Bumrah than Ravi Ashwin.
Like, really?
The chances of me embarrassing myself, I think, against Ashwin are higher.
Well, okay, so if you get a really, like, rapid Yorker from Bumrah, are you really going to look that embarrassed?
I could get
when they'd be like most professional cricketers would have got bowled to that sort of thing. I feel like that's what you're up against with Bumrah. With Ashwin, you're at a huge risk of a comedy stumping. Mm. I think when you try and play positive, so you get a couple of steps forward, miss it by about a foot. But I don't know.
Shoulder arms are carom ball.
I'm sure a lot of international cricketers listen to this podcast, but I want to put this shout out there that I would really love to face an over of international quality spin bowling one day. Men's cricket or women's cricket does not matter.
We could arrange for Mark Craig to bowl to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he'd probably bowl fast just for the hell of it, wouldn't he?
No, I think we'd ask him to, you know, give us an idea,
yeah,
of what it's like to face a really good off spinner.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where you look at it playing out on the screen in front of you and you think, like, I reckon I could have smacked that over the top.
Well, so Eden Parker running a pretty buzzy promotion.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to have to, like, do some live research while we chat. But you get to go out and face a bowling machine and try and hit as many sixes as you can in an over.
That's good, actually. Is that about the Super Smash or something, or is that...
I don't know. I think it's about Eden Park trying to... you know, establish itself as more than just a stadium.
Interesting.
So the concept, this is in capitals, concept, to provide everyday cricketers from weekend warriors to backyard legends the chance to hit a six on one of the most iconic cricket grounds in the world.
Can you get a spin bowling machine?
I think you'd probably want to face a pace machine at that point.
It's really not that fun.
No, you don't turn it up too much, but, like, it's, you know, a bit of zip onto the bat.
Oh.
Keen batters will face six balls from a bowling machine on the legendary Eden Park pitch and attempt to clear the rope. And then you get to try and take three high catches in the outfield as well.
Sounds like it could be really painful. I mean, that's the thing that really appeals to me about facing international quality spin bowling, is that the chance of it being physically painful, very low. Chance of it being emotionally painful or sort of intellectually painful even, very, very high, which I'm sort of more into, I think.
It's weird. Like, I'm pretty sort of conservative, run-of-the-mill in the bedroom. But...
Okay, yep.
I enjoy getting hit by a fast bowler, like up around the ribs and maybe on the inner thigh, or not on the arm so much, maybe the upper arm. I get this like
a nice fleshy bit, get a good kind of
I get like a weird, it's not sexual, but it is like a yeah, come on, like vibe off that. Cool. I've never been hit by a proper expressman.
Yeah.
But, you know, great. Something on the inner thigh at like 115 k's an hour gets me going.
Yeah. Interesting. I have no idea what to say to that. So we should maybe look at wrapping this up.
One thing I wanted to talk about is this weird experience that I've had with the tattoo, that I find that it starts to like throb almost like E.T.'s finger or Iron Man's heart when buzzy black cap things are going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, like as a premonition.
Well, just like it's sort of communicating with the team.
Or maybe communicating with former members of the team who still have like some sort of line into the camp. like maybe Gavin Larson as the chairman of selectors and also an actual clear black cap. I think that's his job at least. Who knows? You know, maybe that's what's happening there. They wore that logo so proudly that it's
like
burned into their
a telepathic
soul
bond rather than, with former clear black caps.
Yeah.
I see if I can send Heath Davis a message or something.
Yeah, ask him to come on the pod. I think that would be a lot of fun. I mean, he would genuinely be a really interesting person to talk to about how cricket can sort of chew you up and spit you out, I think. But yeah, okay, one last thing. We sort of bitched and moaned a little bit about the summer coming up.
I'm still excited. Going to the Hagley Oval test. I booked my return flights to Auckland based around that test. I really look forward to sitting on the grassy bank
and nice
eating
ground.
Eating a
nice
bacon
ground.
And egg pie.
Best thing about Christchurch.
Yep, that's true.
I think I just want to see some really low stakes cricket this summer,
who sponsors the Super Smash or whatever,
Dream 11 or something.
Not Burger King anymore.
No, it was Georgie Pie for
Speaking
a while.
Speaking of
I think.
Sponsors,
yeah.
Oh, we forgot to shout out our sponsor.
Well, do we have a sponsor?
Well, they haven't explicitly cancelled their sponsorship.
Are they still giving us booze for it?
Well, I think that's what where the sponsorship sort of went. I've always struggled to pronounce A-W-R-Y.
Awry.
See it written down more often than I say it. Is that no one really went and converted on our end of the contra. Maybe we should go there after this and have the first ever sponsored beer.
Well, we are talking, of course, about the beer spot.
How many locations across Auckland?
There's 5 across Auckland. There's Morningside, there's Huapai, there's...
I feel like there's one in like Mount Wellington.
Yeah, probably. But let's hope they're not still sponsoring us because this is a bad plug.
No, a plug is a plug, you know?
Yeah, true.
People who might be listening might never have heard of the beer spot, and it's the perfect place to go before you go and watch a Super Smash game on the outer.
Do you mean they might not have heard of the beer spot's 5 locations Auckland-wide with 20-something beers
More than
on
that.
Tap?
So many beers on tap.
Too many to count. Yeah.
Come back next year.
Yeah, please. We should try and do an episode next year. Who knows?
We should do a whole season.
Yeah.
Like one every 3 months.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if that works. And in the meantime, we hope everyone enjoys whatever cricket they have coming up this summer, whether it's playing, whether it's watching your kids and seeing how they're much better than you ever were at that age.
I have this conundrum where I don't want to force cricket onto my children.
Oh, no, they're at a very malleable age. You need to do as much forcing cricket on them as possible.
I want
now.
Them to, you know, naturally grow into the humans that they want to be.
That's how people become passionate about stuff. They get indoctrinated at a very young age.
My grandma literally taking me down.
Yeah. No. Now's the time. You've
got
to really push it.
Well, they're born on Boxing Day. So...
Every year, their birthday. Happy birthday. We're off to the game.
Well, we're off to sit in front of the television and watch the game.
Yeah. Maybe off to the pub. Who knows?
Soon enough.
When they're 11, you can buy them some cigarettes to go with it.
Give them some coins to put in the vending machine.
Yeah.
No, they'll be part of the generation that never gets to smoke.
Yeah. And with it will come an entire generation of fit, lithe, athletic cricketers. Game will be completely different. We won't recognize it.
How are they going to smoke in the showers while nervously not watching the 2015 semi-final unfold?
Yep. Dart on the boundary after you've got out for 3 off 12.
It was a real pleasure seeing you, Alex.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too.
Do you know what I love is that I can, you know, if I'm ever feeling a little bit stressed out if it's a rainy day like it is today in Auckland and it's all a bit of a shit buzz, I just think back to that day in June when we won the World Test Championship, the inaugural World Test Championship. It makes me smile every time.
Yeah, I can understand that, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I suppose when I think about it, I think about it in terms of like that moment happened So therefore, we can expect other moments like that to one day happen again. You know, in terms of being a long-suffering sporting fan, it does give you something to hope for as well.
You can transfer that vibe onto, like, the Phoenix as well.
Yeah, no, they're shit this season. Having a disaster. Well, no, they're not shit.
You caught a very, very brief case of yellow fever there.
Yeah, I did. No. I've still got it. I actually got Sky in part because the India games were on it, but also because I was like,
do you have a scarf?
I don't.
You need to get a scarf.
I don't.
And you can call yourself a real...
Summer sport in New Zealand, though.
It's not the point. Yeah. It's just so you can hold it up,
yeah.
You know, with your arms spread wide above your head.
Yeah.
Like an Olympic weightlifter.
Yeah.
All right, here's some live footage from me getting a tattoo to end the Offspin season 2021. It was great talking to you all. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll get to do it again in the future.
Indeed. We are about to see the finishing touches of the culmination of many years of Simon Day's cricket fandom journey. We're here at Two Hands Tattoo, and Patrick is just putting the final dots on a very important symbol for Simon. All right, tell us about it, Simon.
So in 1998, Clear Communications, then sponsor of the New Zealand cricket team, ran a competition to give the team a nickname. And that is the moment that they became the Black Caps, a name that sort of, to me, symbolised their progression from battling amateurs into the professionals we saw win the World Test Championship a month ago. And yes, that journey was long and hard, but we got there, and this symbol is my permanent recognition of that journey and its significance to me.
Burned into your flesh forever.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.